Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Thank you.
What we celebrate today is the reason that we have hope in this life. The reason that I get up every morning with hope is because of the resurrection. The resurrection gives us hope. The resurrection of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the world today, there are hundreds, probably even thousands of different religions all over the world. But what sets Christianity apart from all other religions in the world is that our Savior rose from the dead. Every other religion's God or prophet or whatever they are, or little small fat guy, they're all dead. Amen? Every one of them. Garden ornaments, that's all they're good for. Amen? What sets Christianity apart is that our God, our Savior, is alive. Amen? He died and He rose again from the dead. Jesus conquered the grave and is alive today. Yes. You know, there's 2.4 billion Christians worldwide that make up 31% of the world's population. 2.4 billion Christians. Isn't that amazing? Within Christianity itself, Pentecostalism is the fastest growing religion within Christianity and fastest growing religion in the world. A few years back, it was claimed that 25 million people every year, around 29,000 people every day turn to Jesus. That is amazing. Amen? They are turning to a living God. They are not turning to a statue. Amen? They are not turning to a prophet. They are turning to a living God. But why? Why are so many people turning to God? Well, last week we talked about who was Jesus. And if you missed that message, you can go back and you can watch it there on our YouTube channel or our website. You can listen to wherever you listen to your podcasts. Because, church, who Jesus is to you is the single most important question that you will ever have to answer. Amen? And everyone will have to answer that question someday. Those people in that video that we watched this morning, that guy who said that Jesus was just a guy who was a nice guy who went around with a bottle of wine in his pocket and switched it out for wine someday, just that kind of a, he'll have to answer for real someday. Won't be just someone stopping him in the street doing a vox pop, asking him who Jesus was. He will answer to God for who Jesus was. Those who believe in Jesus will answer to God, and God will ask him, who was Jesus to you? He'll say, he was my Lord and my Savior. Those who don't believe in Jesus, those people who didn't even believe Jesus existed, they will still have to answer to God of who Jesus is to them. And the answer to that question will determine their residency for eternity. Let that sink in for a second. The answer to the question of who Jesus is to you will determine your residency in eternity. So if you missed last week's message, I strongly encourage you to go back and watch it or listen to it. So today, we're asking why. Last week we asked who was Jesus. This week, we're asking why. Why was Jesus? Why did Jesus have to come to this earth? And specifically, why, when he did come, did he have to die? Well, before Jesus, humanity had a slight issue, didn't it? Slight issue, small issue, little thing that separated from itself and its creator. Just a little thing, little short word, three letters in it, beginning with S and ending with N, sin. And we don't like to talk about it, do we? We don't, because we all do it, amen? And sometimes we don't like to talk about the things that we do. But sin separated man from its creator. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 said, for all. Hands up if you're an all this morning. Most of us are alls. We're all alls, okay, just in case you're wondering. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want you to know this morning, just in case you didn't know, that when you sinned, you fell short of the glory of God. Amen? You see, in the beginning when God created the world, he never intended man to fall and for him to sin. You know that, don't you? When God placed Adam and Eve in that garden, he never intended for them to sin. Never intended for them to fall. But they did, and we did. And we continued to sin. And we actually got to a place where we got quite good at sinning. And in a lot of sins, I think we've probably perfected sinning, haven't we? But sin has a consequence. And one of those consequences that sin has is that it separates us from God. Paul described the consequence of sin this way when he was writing to the church of Rome. He said in Romans 6 and verse 23, he said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know what most people's favorite day of the week is? And it's not Saturday or it's not Sunday because those are the days that we get to laze around and do nothing. It's not Friday because it's the last day of the week and we know that Boomtown Rats didn't like Monday. So I wonder what people's favorite day of the week is. Do you know what it is? And it's not actually one of those 7 days. It's actually payday. Payday is people's favorite day of the week. Amen? And I don't know whether payday for you falls, you know, every Friday or every 2 weeks, or maybe you get paid once a month, but payday is people's favorite day of the week. Why? Because this is the day they get paid for the work that they've done for the previous 7 or 14 days or whatever it is. That's the day you get paid. You get paid your wages for what you've earned in that previous 7 or 14 days. And you've earned them. You've worked hard for them, haven't you? They're not just a payment. They're a payment for what you have earned, this hard work, the reason you got out of bed early every morning, the reason that you got out of the bed when most people were still in it, and you worked hard when most people were watching TV, and you get paid for that, don't you? You see, when you get paid your just payment for the work that you've worked, you feel like you've earned it, don't you? You get that satisfaction that this is something that I've been paid for, that I have earned. But the just payment for our sins and our sinning, according to the word of God, is death and separation from God. Again, Romans 6:23 in the Phillips New Testament version, it says this, it says, "Sin pays its servants, the wages is death. But God's gift to those who serve him, his free gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, this was never God's intention for mankind, but it was a result of us rebelling against God's instruction and intent for our lives. God created us on purpose, for a purpose, amen? And just like we collect our wages, our earned wages every week, there is a payment for man's disobedience and sinning against God. And that is death and separation from God, our Creator. But this is where Jesus came in. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This is where Jesus came in. Because if the wages of sin is death, then the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. The resurrection of Jesus today guarantees us that we will rise as well. Amen. You know, as much as I love receiving my earned money that I've earned every week, worked hard for every week, as much as I love payday, once a year, maybe you're the same, once a year in the job I used to work years ago, they would give me a bonus at Christmas time. Maybe you get a bonus too. And that bonus that they gave me was not something that I earned. They gave it to me out of the goodness of their own heart. And I love getting this bonus every year because I didn't have to work for it. It was not down to the amount of hours I put in. It wasn't down to the amount of years I had worked there. It wasn't down to the amount of days that I had missed that year. It was given to me as a free gift from them. Free money, as it were. A free gift from them out of the goodness of their own hearts. Jesus came to earth to die and sacrifice himself to pay the debt that sin had racked up for all of humanity, not because we had earned it, not because we deserved it, but it was a free gift that God gave us out of the goodness and out of the greatness of his love for us. Amen? Romans chapter 7 and verse 14 tells us that we were sold under sin. When sin entered the world, mankind was sold as slaves to sin. But because of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross and his rising from the dead, we have been redeemed. Amen? We have been bought back. It's like that whole thing that, you know, if you're in financial trouble, you could go and find yourself a pawn shop. And you could take whatever is the most valuable thing in your home, and you could go to the pawn shop and you could pawn that for a period of time and pay off the pawn shop would give you X amount of money for that item. But you, after a while, you could go back with the redemption money and buy your item back. Well, when we sin, when sin entered into the world through Adam, we were sold under sin. But when Jesus came and died on the cross for us, he redeemed us from that sin. Amen? He bought us back. When Jesus was being cross-examined by Pilate, Jesus said to Pilate, he said in John 18:37, he said, "But the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on this side of the truth listens to me." The reason that Jesus came to this world was to pay the price for our sins. You see, when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, they created this separation between themselves and God. It was like there was a whole big separation there, a big gulf between themselves and God. So in an act that foreshadowed God's ultimate plan, he killed a perfect animal. You remember that in the garden? And he took the skin of that perfect animal and he covered Adam and Eve's nakedness with the skin of that animal. God, in his great grace, he counted the blood of that substitute animal as a payment for man's sins. Without the shedding of innocent blood, there could be no forgiveness. And mankind will be eternally separated from God. Hebrews 9 and verse 22 says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." So the blood of a clean animal covered over man's sins. But it was only temporary fix, wasn't it? Yeah, it was only a temporary fix. I mean, every time under the Old Testament covenant that someone sinned, they had to go back. Another clean animal. Another sacrifice to the priest. I mean, 10 minutes after they just had sacrificed the lamb, they were back with a dove. And the priest is there looking at him saying, "What happened?" "Well, I seen my next door neighbor and, you know, how good looking she is. And anyway, one thing led to another. And here's, just take the lamb, just take the dove, please. Just take the dove." Every time that they sinned, every time that they fell, they had to head back to the priest with another clean animal. Amen? For to cover over this temporary fix for their sins. You see, once sin entered the world, it became like a virus. And it spread. And every time man sinned, he had to march back to the priests and offer more clean animals, more sacrifices to cover over their latest sin. So God had a plan. Amen? Amen. Aren't you glad you serve a God who has a plan? Amen? Aren't you glad you serve a God that wasn't caught out by man's sin? God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. Amen? Amen. God had a plan that required a perfect, sinless offering to pay once and for all for the sins of all humanity. And that plan was Jesus. Amen? Amen. That plan was Jesus. So why did Jesus have to come and die? He did it to repair the connection between the Creator and the creation. Amen. When God created Adam and Eve, he walked in the garden with them. He chatted in the garden with them. But when they sinned, there was a big gap, a big gulf. So when Jesus came, he came to mend that breach between God and man. Amen. So now you have God here, desiring to reach out to man, desiring to have a relationship with man. You had man over here, sinning, continually sinning, perfecting sinning. No way to get to God. God had no way of looking on man's sin. So Jesus came and he bridged that gap. Amen. He filled that gap. So now that God could interact with man through Jesus. Amen. Jesus mended the gap. Jesus repaired the connection between the Creator and his creation. Jesus' shedding of his blood on the cross was an intentional act that forever bridged the separation between mankind and God. John 3, verse 16, you all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in Jesus, whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died in our place for our sinfulness shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God sent Jesus to redeem humanity as a demonstration of his amazing love for humanity. God loves us so much that he gave us his absolute best in his one and only Son, Jesus, to pay the price that man couldn't pay, the price that nothing could pay, only his Son, to redeem them back. God counts the blood of his Son as a sufficient payment for the debt that we owed. Isn't that great? When we trust in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, God closes that gap that sin created between us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, For God made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, we could never do it on our own. Never in our own strength. Never in our own ability could we bridge that gap. So God sent Jesus, who knew no sin, to take on the sins of all mankind, so that we could have a right relationship with our God, our Father. You know, when you think about that image of Jesus there on the cross, stretched out on the cross, nailed to the cross, hands and feet. You look at him and you think to yourself, you know what, he could have walked off that cross at any time. He could have just, like he'd done many times before, he could have just walked right through the people there. He could have just got down and left them all there. But he didn't. And you know, it wasn't the nails in his hands and feet that kept Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the guards surrounding the cross, keeping watch on him. It was none of that. The one and only thing that kept Jesus on the cross was the thing that sent him to the cross in the first place. And that was his love for you and for me. Love kept Jesus on the cross. Nothing physical. Amen? It was his amazing love for us. Galatians 2:20 and says, the Son of God loved me, loved you, and he gave himself for us. Amen. So why did Jesus have to come and why did he have to die? Because there was no other way. There was no other way. Man had no ability to attain salvation in his own strength. Absolutely none. None. I have met people in the past who have told me, you know, well, you know, God won't be able to refuse me entry into heaven. I'm a good person. God won't be able to refuse me entry into heaven because I do good things. I never hurt anyone. I never talk about anyone. I never hurt my neighbor. I'm a just living person. God couldn't refuse me entry into heaven. There was no other way. Amen? There was no other way. Man had no ability to attain salvation in his own strength. Absolutely none. We were locked up in sin. And only Jesus could release us from our bondage. John 8:36, and it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Meaning that before the Son, you were not free. You were not free. Sin doesn't come so you can enjoy stuff. Even though sinning can be very enjoyable. But sin didn't come into the world so you could have fun, so you could enjoy yourself. I mean, anything that's not sinful is not fun, isn't that right? Yeah, that was the way we used to think, wasn't it? Sinning was fun. We got so good at it. But that sinning brought bondage. Amen? We didn't know it, but we were in bondage. We were locked up in that sin. And Jesus came to make us free. And when he came to make us free, he set us free indeed. That morning when Jesus rose from the dead was the greatest day of all humanity. Never will be surpassed. Amen? At the resurrection of Jesus, God completed his redemption plan. I can imagine. My mind, when I think about stuff like that, gets a little bit... I can imagine Jesus coming out of that tomb and he was like, yes. Like he just scored a winning goal in a World Cup final or something in the last minute or something like that. You know the greatest celebration you've ever seen anybody doing? You know, you know when sometimes footballers scores goals and they do the head over heels 3 or 4 times and then they jump around and slide on their knees in the ground and stuff like that? I think when Jesus came out of the tomb, that's what he did. All of them. Because he had just finished it. He had just won the victory. Game over, 90 minutes or whatever, he had just finished the whole thing. There was no coming back from that from the enemy. Amen? So I want to give you 4 real quick things today that the resurrection of Jesus guarantees us as Jesus followers. The resurrection of Jesus assures me that you are and I am accepted by God. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and raised because of our justification. In our own strength, no matter how great of a person you are, no matter how many people you help in need, no matter how much you give to charity, no matter how many little old ladies you help across the road, in your own goodness, you can never be good enough to save yourself. Never. And that is freeing. Amen? To know that. My friend who kept saying that, oh, well, now God couldn't refuse me. That's bondage, amen? That's bondage. And that's so hard to live up to. Imagine being so self-righteous to think that God couldn't refuse you entry into heaven because you're good. That means that the next time that you do something wrong, or maybe it's the first time you've ever done something wrong, you are now not good enough. Amen? You cannot hold it yourself. And if you think that you can hold your salvation yourself or save yourself, then you're on shaky ground, amen? Because you will fall. You will make a mistake. You will fall short of the glory of God, even in your own glory. You will never be good enough. Thank God. Amen? Because I know if we could be good enough, not before the end of this day, would we be accused of gluttony for the 4th Easter egg we've eaten? That's a sin too. Amen? We are not justified in our own acts. We are justified because of Jesus' acts. Amen? The second thing, how we can be know that we are accepted by God, is the resurrection of Jesus assures us that Jesus is now in heaven and he is interceding for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 says, who is he who condemns? It is Jesus who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You know, Jesus is in heaven now, and he is interceding right now with God the Father for you and me. The enemy is the accuser. Amen? When we sin, when we do the thing that we know we shouldn't do, but we do it anyway... When we sin, the enemy is there and he is saying, oh, look what he did. Look what he did. You got to condemn him. Got to condemn him. And God sees that we sinned and made a mistake. But when God looks at you and me today, when we have a relationship with him, he doesn't see us. He sees Jesus. Because Jesus is interceding for us in heaven. And when we mess up and when the enemy comes and accuses us, Jesus hops up and says, oh, I paid for that. I paid for that. Jesus paid the price for each and every one of our sins. And when the enemy comes to accuse us, Jesus is ready to jump up and say, oh, I paid for it. So we don't have to pay for it, amen? Because Jesus has already paid for it. And he's interceding with God the Father for us in heaven today. Every time the enemy tries to bring an accusation against you, Jesus steps in and says, Father, I paid for that. Amen? There will never be a mistake, a mess up, a slip up, a sin that you could ever create or ever sin that Jesus hasn't paid for. He has paid for them all. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, therefore, there is now therefore no condemnation. No condemnation. None whatsoever. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Amen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus has set us free, and he is our advocate with God the Father, even today. 1 John 2 and 1 says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, or our defender with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Third thing, the resurrection of Jesus assures us that we have the power to live this Christian life. Because of the resurrection, God gives us the power to live this Christian life. Romans 8 and verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You know, this Christian life is not easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. It's not easy. We're surrounded by temptations, surrounded by opportunities to fall, sin, make mistakes. We're surrounded by all of those opportunities. It's not easy. In fact, a Christian life is impossible to live if we try to live it in our own power. And that's why God gave us his Holy Spirit, to empower us to be able to live this Christian life. It is impossible to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Impossible. You know what's impossible? Impossible. If it can't be done, it's impossible. And it is impossible to live this life victoriously without the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on its own. We've all tried. We failed miserably. Amen? But the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the strength to be able to live this Christian life. It's impossible to live this Christian life without the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's why just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said this in Acts 1 and verse 8. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be witnesses of God, to be witnesses of what God has done for you. You all have a testimony. Every one of us. We all have testimonies of what God has done for us. Because we all know where we came from. We all know what we've done in the past. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in us and the assurance of salvation that the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the power to be witnesses. Amen? To tell people of what Jesus has done for us. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, God has sent us the Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to live this Christian life and to be able to fulfill the Great Commission. And finally, one last thing. The resurrection of Jesus assures us that we will live forever in heaven. Praise God. That's good news. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20 says, but now Christ is raised from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. If you are in Christ, you have been made alive. Amen? Easter was the day that death died. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus. Jesus put a line under death. Amen. Because of Easter. That day that Jesus rose from the dead. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we will all too rise from the dead. And we will never die. Amen. John 11 verse 25 says, "And Jesus said to her, and he's saying to you and I this morning, I am the resurrection of the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Amen? Because Jesus dies and lives today, God the Father has taken the sting out of death. He's taken it away from us. One final scripture. Let me read this to you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a risen Savior. Not a statue, not a picture, not an idol, but a resurrected Jesus, whom we can trust in, whom we can believe in, and whom we can put our faith in. And I want to say to you this morning, if you have not made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, now is the time. Amen? Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Amen? As I said to you at the start of this, all of those people that we watched this morning, all of those people that we watched there last week, that didn't know Jesus, that didn't know why Jesus existed, one day they'll have to answer that question. And one day we'll have to answer that question. And if you don't know the answer to that question, I want to give you the answer to that question today. And I want to give you the assurance that you will know when your time is up on this earth that you will spend eternity with God the Father. That you won't stand before God the Father trying to make a defense for yourself, trying to make yourself righteous in your own eyes. There's no hope. You can't do it. Amen. The only way, the only entrance into heaven is through Jesus. Amen. Trust in him, belief in him, faith in him, confessing him. Amen. So that's what we're going to do today. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth, you all got mouths this morning? Yeah. Praise God, you do. Yeah. It says if you confess, what is it to confess something? It's to own up to it, isn't it? When you're with kids or when you with your own kids at home, if someone breaks something or if you broke something when you were a child and your parents came to you and said to you, "Did you do that?" What were they giving you the opportunity to do? They were giving you the opportunity to own up to it, weren't they? They were giving you the opportunity to confess up. When you confess to something, you say, "Well, that's mine. I'm owning that." So when we confess something, when we confess with our mouths, and we're confessing to faith in Jesus. So that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, you able to believe this morning? Yeah, you do. You all believe in stuff, don't you? You believe in those chairs this morning. I say every one of you sat down in those chairs this morning, not one of you has checked to see if it's going to hold you up. You believed in those chairs this morning. Amen? You believed in the light switch when you flicked it on this morning. You believed in the car when you turned the key in the car this morning. You got faith in it. You believed in it. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. You all got hearts this morning? Yeah. Praise God. Everything that was ever created has got a heart. You know that, don't you? Everything. Last night, I was cleaning out a turkey to put on this morning. And as I was cleaning it out, I was taking the bag of stuff, liver and all the stuff that's in it. And I looked into it afterwards. And I never do that. I looked into the cavity of the turkey there afterwards. And I seen the heart was still in there, still connected to the body. So I called all the lads over just to gross them out as I ripped the heart out of the carcass. And I held it up for them just to show them that I'm a vegetarian, just in case you're wondering. I don't eat meat. But I had to show my carnivore family this heart. to show them that everything has a heart. Amen. So you got a heart this morning, yeah? So you can confess something. You can, with your mouth, you all got mouths. You can believe in stuff. You all believe in stuff. You all got hearts this morning. So you believe in your heart. Amen. That's where your belief comes from. That the Lord, that God raised Jesus from the dead. It says if you can do all those things, it says you will be saved. So your opportunity this morning is to confess with your mouth, to believe with your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and it says you will be saved. So I want you all to stand to your feet this morning. We're going to pray this prayer together. Our Savior is alive. Amen. Amen? He's not in the ground. He's alive. We're not confessing to anything that's not alive. We're confessing to a living God. So pray this prayer this morning, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me Jesus. Jesus, I believe in you. Save me. Make me new. Fill me with your Spirit so that I can live for you. Thank you for this new life. I give you mine. Help me to become all you created me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer this morning and believed in your heart, confessing with your mouth, the Word of God says you will be saved.